You are listening to WPVM LP 103.7 in Asheville, North Carolina. And globally at WPVMFM.org.
Well, howdy, buckaroos and buckarettes.
Here's your Radio Asheville weather report. Plenty of sunshine across the mountains today. A high near 68 here in town. Wind gust around 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A low around 40. On Monday, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain, mainly during the midday hours. A high near 48. Then for Monday night, a slight chance of rain after midnight. Cloudy skies and low around 37. I'm Johnny Cottle on Radio Asheville 103.7.
Welcome to the Resilience Realm, a syndicated radio program airing on WPVM FMLP 103.7, Radio Asheville and the Pacifica Network. The show airs on Sundays at 10 a.m. EST from Asheville, North Carolina. Your host is Dawn Westmoreland, a Resilience keynote speaker, HR professional, author, life coach, and retired Air Force veteran. On the Resilience Realm, Dawn amplifies powerful voices, including employment attorneys, mental health professionals, veterans, employees, employers, and community leaders who share practical resilience strategies. They discuss tips for moving forward to find the strength to seek support when systems fail. Here is your host, Dawn Westmoreland.
Hey, everyone. So glad to be back with you. You know, something that I noticed lately, a common theme right now is burnout. And it seems like it's a lot more with women. And it's not to say that men don't have very important roles out there in this world. They absolutely do. But I think what it is that I'm connected to so many women and we talk. And one of the first things that's come up all this week is burnout. And what is burnout? Well, we live in the United States and I'm in my 60s. And one thing I know for sure, our culture embraces busyness. And how good is that? Well, it's good when you need to be busy. But when you're just staying busy to look good, that's another thing. So what happens when you have burnout? Well, one of the things that happens when you have burnout, you lose your love of life. You know, your morale can go down. You can get depressed. You can get anxious from just overextending yourself, overdoing. And I'll give you a couple examples, and it'll be about myself, actually. So the first time I really remember burning out, I mean, extreme burnout, was back in 2012, and that was speaking up against the Veteran Affairs, the second largest federal agency, about their perceived nepotism and racism that I saw as an HR person back then. And so anyway, moving forward, it would take about 20 months of writing things up, turning them in, you know, and I'm talking about the managers, supervisors. And so I was constantly being barraged with harassment, charges that weren't mine. And at the time, I just didn't know better. And I've talked about this before in other interviews. I did not know better because when you're in the Air Force, and now I've been retired 21 years, you go, 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 go. It's service before self. Yes, that is the mission, service before self. And there's a time and place for that because when you have to get something very important done or it's urgent, then you do. You have to kind of suck it up and get it done. But what I did not do at the time was practice balance. And balance means, yes, you do the work that you need to do, but you also take some downtime where you can recharge. I did not at that time know about meditation so much. Solfeggio music, which is different frequencies that are really good for the mind, body, and spirit. And there's a thousand other things like art therapy. So moving forward, for the last 9 years, I have been a caregiver for my mother. My mother will be 85 in March of 2026. She had breast cancer, metastatic breast cancer, about 9 years ago, really close to the time that I was in a bad accident. I was in a bad accident that was not my fault back March 4th, 2019. And that's when I had a traumatic brain injury from the accident and had to learn how to speak again, how to enunciate. My eyes had to be, you know, rehabilitated so that they would look straight, not all over the place and such like that. So that's when I also had to learn about burnout because I was trying to help myself get better. And it was frustrating because if you have a intense personality or you're a go-getter, a high achiever, or just somebody that likes to stay active or busy, it can be a real downer. So I was forced to slow down because I didn't have a choice. I was in constant pain, and there's nothing like pain to slow you down. It will slow you down big time. I recall sitting in the house, my home that I'm in now, back then, 2019, and what I was doing was sitting in my house with all the shades pulled, no sound, no light, no music. Back then, thank God I didn't have any dogs because I would have had a hard time, because dogs can be active, noisy, and lovable and entertaining. And that's what I did not need at the time. So pain taught me to slow down, and it's a shame it has to be pain. But as I got better and such, you know, my mom became what we'll call more medically needy. She has a lot of health issues, always has. And I'll be the first to say it. And there's many people who know my mom will say, my God, she's one of the strongest, toughest people they know of. She's a really quiet person. My mom is a true introvert, more of a listener than she is a talker. But she's definitely a doer. I mean, she was out there 30, 35 years playing the organ, playing the piano for her church at no charge, playing funerals in a small town, playing for funerals on her piano organ and not charging people. It was her way of giving back to the community. So, you know, here we are today. I am now her caregiver. And my mom is in a nursing home, and that was the hardest thing to do. I have to tell you, if you're ever considering having to put a loved one in a nursing home, you will question yourself over and over, and sometimes you'll agree with what you come up with. Sometimes it'll drive you crazy. All my life, I had to listen to do not put me in a nursing home for my mom. And it was for good reason. We grew up, I remember in North Alabama seeing my great aunts, they were in their mid-90s in nursing homes. And I remember all the sights and the smells and it felt depressing. And it could have been that day, and it could have just been that moment. It could have been the staff. It could have been, you know, a really good place and just a bad day. Who knows? But most all of us, when we're younger, we've had some kind of experience with a nursing home, whether it's a loved one or a friend, or maybe you just watched it on TV or so. So my mom's been in a nursing home, not because I wanted her to be in a nursing home, certainly not because she doesn't want to be in a nursing home, but because she's medically needy. And without, you know, violating all her medical issues, it's very broadly known that she had metastatic breast cancer and survived it, which is pretty darn amazing. So when you put your parent into a nursing home, and I've talked about this during another interview, it just depends where you place them. And I was really lucky because my mom was already in the nursing home that she's in. And she had been in rehabilitation and then reached a point where she could not get better. They did a family intervention, brought me in. And so being the daughter and such, and I'd moved my mom up here to Asheville, North Carolina. It was the hardest thing is listening to people telling you, you know, an interdisciplinary staff telling you, your mom's not getting better. She's actually getting worse, you know, with their therapy, and her muscles are atrophying and stuff. And that's not something, I don't care if your parent is 90, 91, 95, your loved one, it doesn't matter. It's always hard to hear your loved one is falling apart or getting older, which we all are. So I had to sit down, and not knowing anything about the nursing home business, I got an earful more than I ever wanted to. And this is where I've everyone had to learn resiliency and boundaries. I'm going to talk about it. And so some of the things I share with you, I hope that nobody has to go through. If they do, at least I'm going to give you some advice that I got. And when I share advice, it's from me. It is not legal advice. I always encourage anybody when it comes to a legal matter or something that you want legal advice, please see a competent attorney or somebody who specializes, you know, in the legal law. Okay, so got my mom all situated, squared in her room, and it's, you know, kind of like a dorm room. There's a curtain between the two beds. Yes, there's two beds. There's two beds in there. Sometimes my mother had a roommate, and sometimes she did not have a roommate. Now, she had a couple roommates, and I like to call things as they are. These were older women, and they were kind of crotchety and grouchy. They weren't the best roommates. And, you know, I was kind of happy for them and for my mom and myself when they asked to move to another room. And if you're wondering what happened, did I run them off? No, I didn't run them off. I might have drove them crazy by being nice to them because that's the right thing to do. You know, these are seniors. You don't know what kind of state of mind they're in, if they have dementia, what kind of health issues are making them feel grouchy, you know, short tempered and things like that. But the roommates had a chance to move in a room where they had it, the room to themselves until they got another roommate. And let's face it, if you ever remember your days when you're younger, especially, and maybe you're in college or just starting off, or maybe it's today, you're trying to make ends meet. So you might have to room up or something like that. Now, folks, it's $368 a day for my mom. And you're like, oh my God, you know, where do you get that kind of money? Well, here's how it works. And I've explained this in another interview, but I'd like to also go over a few real important things. What happens is you work with the Department of Social Services, and mine happens to be here in Buncombe County in Asheville, North Carolina. And all the paperwork that they request, you know, they're going to request money, you know, financial affairs, documents, things like that. You basically are turning over every dime of your loved one, every single dime, except for the law. I know in North Carolina, as it was explained to me, you get to keep $70. Oh boy, $70. Oh, that's so much money, isn't it? No, it's not. And I'll tell you why. Because in the past year, Medicare, maybe even the insurance, my mother's always had wonderful, incredible, great insurance that has almost paid for everything. Let me back it up, you know, to over 9 years ago when she had cancer. Her insurance paid 100% of it. Now, this year, 2026, my mom is entitled to keep her insurance, even though she's in a nursing home. We have gone to different specialists. And then, you know, within 30 days, I've gotten a copayment bill, which we never had before. Guess what? $20, $50. That's $70. That's already gone. So let's say if your loved one gets sick and it's unexpected, which, my gosh, that happens a lot. I mean, we can't predict the day we're going to go downhill. I mean, if we get cancer, we know kind of the, you know, or chronic illnesses, we kind of know what can happen. And we have a lot of medical appointments trying to get better and such. Well, I got that, you know, going through and the $70. And then guess what? I have to take care of my mother's bills because those bills, I'm an authorized user on her bills. That was the way I had to manage her affairs. So I'm on her credit cards, I'm on her checking account, all the sake of paying her bills, managing her money, her affairs, you know, paying for anything that's necessary, you know, the electricity keep in her home in North Florida. And let's talk about that, okay? And again, this isn't legal advice, not at all. Please seek a legal attorney if you want legal advice. I'm just telling you that this is my experience. So I was really glad that my mother 6 years ago had, when we were in North Florida visiting there, I was there visiting my mother actually in her house. We went and saw her local attorney, and the town's small. I mean, it's like a one intersection stoplight town. It's really country, very rural in North Central Florida. And so we meet with the attorney. We'll just call him by his first name, Tim. And my mom talked to Tim about, putting the house in her children's name. And so Tim drew up the paperwork, and that was 6 years ago upon, my mother's death, as she precedes us, that, the house would go to the four children. And then, if we decide to keep it, we can, or, in our case, we all have homes and nobody lives in my mom's small town right now that needs a home, of us children. So we know one day that we will sell that house. Now, what would have happened if my mom had not put the house in a deed? Okay. Now, I can tell you, if you knew my mother, she was never thinking about a nursing home at that time. All she was thinking of is, I want my children to 100% have the house, four ways. And that's what she did. And that's one of the questions that, the nursing home people, or if they hire somebody, there's a company that mom's nursing home, and I'm not going to say their name on this interview because I'm going to share some experiences with them that were not positive. So sometimes there's private companies that help, they say, quote, help the loved one who's not in the nursing home gather all the paperwork together. Let me tell you, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare because that happened with my mom's nursing home. And I'm going to leave out names, or if I say a name, I'm just going to substitute it with a different name than their real name, okay? Because it's still ongoing. Well, one of the first things is that I started getting phone calls. We need this, this, and this from this private company collecting the paperwork that will go to the Department of Social Services, right? And that's long-term Medicaid for nursing. And it can get confusing because, and I've learned a lot since last September when my mom started having all these medical issues going in and out of hospitals, rehab, and then finally the nursing home. Long-term Medicaid is not about being poor. It is not Medicaid. It has everything to do with long-term nursing. And so what happens is I have to turn over all my mother's money, but $70, and then the state of North Carolina, DSS, once it gets approved, all the paperwork and such, then it is offsetted by that. Now, generally, they'll give you about 45 days to get the paperwork in. And you would think, oh, that's nothing. I mean, I can, sure, 45 days. Oh, I can get that done. But what happens when you don't get the whole list of things that you need to turn in? It gets piecemealed. You get a phone call. Well, I've always been transparent, and I definitely believe in being authentic. Here's the thing. I'm an HR person, 33 years. I'm retired from the Air Force 21 years ago. Of course, I'm not retired just from the Air Force. So when you start piecemealing me, it's very frustrating and annoying because it's like, give me the list. Give me the list of what I need to produce, and then just get the heck out of the way. I don't need my hand held. But that was not the situation with the company. So I even asked to have an appointment with the one representative of this company that came in every week to the nursing home. I had set up an appointment to meet that person, make sure I had everything turned in. Well, I showed up at the right time in the right place, and guess what? That person wasn't there. The person I was supposed to have the meeting with, make sure I had everything. And when I called them on the phone, the first thing that they said was, we did not have an appointment. I said, yes, we did have an appointment. So, that was one of the first red flags. And then, I don't know what the North Carolina laws are about calling, calling hours, but I'm pretty sure it's common sense. I started getting phone calls at 8:30 at night. And I'm like, whoa, okay, I'm a personable person, but why are you calling me at 8:30 at night? Just send me an email. Then I got a text. This one you'll love, everyone. I got a text. In today's world of so much scamming and people spamming and stuff, I got a text that said, we need the following documents for your mother's case, right? It doesn't say, hi, Dawn. Hi, Miss Westmoreland. You know, this is Karen or Carol. I'm just making, you know, the last names up. I mean, that is my last name, Westmoreland. But I get, you know, you need to turn these documents in. And that's when I really lost it. I had to calm myself down before I responded. I'm going to remind you again, I've been an HR person for 33 years. And even though I'm more of a strategist and a big picture person, I don't really miss much. And people's behavior and attitude have always been extremely vital, important to me because, you know, as an HR person, I've worked with companies, I've worked with the CEOs, you know, to try to have a healthier, safer, you know, psychologically safe environment, things like that. And when you have 33 years of HR, you're not going to get too much past that kind of person if they have that kind of experience. So the first thing that I did, and I think you're going to love this, my listeners, is I texted back and I said, who is this? The next morning, because it was at night, it was late at night, I get, this is so-and-so's supervisor. That was the supervisor I was originally working with to get the paperwork in, right? And so I wrote him back again and I said, who is this, please? I wanted a name. And they wouldn't write me back. So I finally wrote him back, text, and I said, in the future, I prefer to be addressed by my name. It could be Dawn or Miss Westmoreland. It doesn't matter. And I prefer to know your name and not to ask you two times, who are you? And the best thing of all that really sealed the deal was I said, as an HR expert of 33 years, I cannot believe that you sent a text like that. I've been a supervisor, superintendent. I've run a lot of different things in my life. I've been in charge of a lot of big stuff, you know, in my life, especially in the Air Force, millions of dollars of deployment equipment, people, resources. And so I really have had a lot of background training to be disciplined, to have the leadership, and also to set boundaries and absolutely to be assertive. Well, I knew that last statement about, you know, her sending, that person sending a text to me, they knew they were out of line. You do not do that. First of all, I never signed an agreement or contract. And I'm not aware that my mother signed one, but if they did, she wasn't competent. I won't go into the medical reason. It would be a null and void. We would not have to work with this company. So I knew this would happen. The lady tried to call me at 7:30 in the morning, okay? And that's unacceptable. It's totally unacceptable to call somebody at 7:30 in the morning when it's not even, the business day has not even started. I've not given permission to call me, you know, early in the morning, late at night, to try to justify why they sent the message, then proceeded to write me, it seemed like two pages of, we're just trying to help you with your loved one. No, that wasn't the case. It was not the case. And when I went to their webpage and I read, you know, what they do, they're private, it basically says, well, of course, in their own words, these are my words. You know, we do everything it takes to get the paperwork in for the nursing home is basically how I interpret it. I'm like, okay, so even being unprofessional, rude. Well, folks, that made me so concerned. I'm a big girl. You know, I'm in my early 60s. I've had plenty of experience to know and training how to deal with people like that. But I'm curious, you know, on the legal side of things, you know, so I make some phone calls, talk to, you know, some attorneys. And again, I'm not giving legal advice. I cannot give legal advice. I'm an HR person and, you know, just a loving daughter. But I do know this, when I did my own research, if there is any kind of elder abuse, you can look up yourself, you know, mistreatment of elders and stuff like that. Or if there's any kind of treatment, you know, toward the loved ones and things like that, there are laws that protect you. So one thing that I did my own research and found out is that, oh boy, I can call the North Carolina Attorney General's office or file a complaint because they love working with elderly and veterans. Of course, that's not the only people that they do. Now, since the case, you know, the situation, the long-term Medicaid nursing is not finalized, it's still going on. I've elected to just, hold off and just see how things go because I do want to report it, and I'll tell you why. It's not to be mean. It's not to get back. It's to stop the abuse, because it is harassment and abuse when somebody calls you at 7:30 or sends you a text with no name, number. Well, you have the number, but no name, Miss Westmoreland, we're trying to reach you, blah, blah, blah. That's totally unprofessional. It's pure out harassment. Okay. But here's the thing with resiliency. You want to fight your battles wisely. So I thought about it and I thought part of me wanted to chomp down on the nursing home. Why would you, CEO, director, why would you hire people that are going to behave like that? But here's the truth. It's still going. The Medicaid thing is still going. And I do not want any kind of interference. I just want it finalized. In all fairness, for the most part, my mom at the nursing home has received really good care. Now, there's been some exceptions. I'm not going to lie, and this is where I have to fight my battles wisely and be resilient. There's a standing order. Mom's supposed to be supervised at all times without going into the medical. I can't tell you how many times she's not supervised. Nobody's in there. Once she was halfway leaning back in her bed, and they gave her medication, and thank God I was there. They walked off, and she started choking. And, they're jumping through hoops because all across the United States, and I'm not making excuses for any nursing home, they are shorthanded. They are shorthanded. So they're probably, and this is me coming as an HR person, they're probably looking at what can we trim off our schedule? What can we do or not do so we can get through? Since September, I've seen a lot of people get hired onto this new nursing home. And that tells me, and I can always tell, as an HR person when they're shorthanded. I pay attention to people's behaviors, their moods, their actions. I mean, actions to me speak louder than words. So as I go forward, and I want to wrap this up with, this ain't just all about poor Dawn or poor Mama. This is just my factual experience. And so if you're out there going through a hard time, I would encourage you to move forward and ask yourself, what is the most empowering thing, next thing that you can do to help yourself? And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. One, I get to bed earlier, so I get a little bit longer night of sleep because I need it. I'm not going to lie to you. There are some days that I am dragging one foot in the other to go over to the nursing home. It's not because I don't want to see my mom. I love my mom. And it's just hard because I've got to drive over there. I know the process, sign in, go in before I even make it to my mom's room. And she's the furthest room in the whole place. So I get a good exercise. I've already run into probably 10 residents and I've made friends with all of them. Just about everyone I know, they know me. I know them. I know a little bit about them. And so they've become like friends and family too. So I embrace them. Today, I'm bringing some brownies in to the nursing home for the people who are allowed to eat brownies. I don't want to get in trouble if they can't. Excuse me. And I'm choosing again. I'm going to say it again. I am choosing to fight my battles wisely. I'm not going to go after every single thing that upsets me. I'm going to go after things that are important. And every morning when I get up, I am not a morning person. I grab my coffee and I listen to 639 Hertz music, solfeggio. And it's really, really good to clear your mind. It's very relaxing. Solfeggio music, I'm going to spell it S as in Sam, O L, F as in Frank, E G. G-I-O. Look it up and see if it's something for you. I never tell people how to get grounded or how to meditate. I just say, here's the benefits. It works for me. Try it. If it works for you, that's fantastic. Whatever it is, If it's gardening, guess what? We got about 20 more days till spring is my days of counting. And I like putting my hands in the soil. That's very, very therapeutic. So again, getting back to staying resilient is staying balanced. If I was just going, and, you know, always giving to my mom because I see her almost every single day, except for when I'm sick or we had the ice storms, you know, today I let myself watch, I just binged on Netflix. I just said network, didn't I? I got network in the brain. Netflix, I binged on it today. Would I do that every day? No, but today I needed it. I needed that break. So whatever.